Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cuts Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cuts Corner, brought to you by iWatch.
In collaboration with Lansing.
And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome back to Coach Cuts Corner. Today in the studio, I have co-hosts Elijah Boyer and Hayden Modaff. We will talk about some recent lessons learned. I know we as a staff are always trying to learn and grow, and we just arrived back in Lansing from a four-day trip to North Carolina that took us on stops to Appalachian State and Wake Forest University. You will hear about our most recent journey now. Just arriving back. Wow. I mean, we didn't fly, we drove. So it's a little bit of a road trip.
A little bit.
Did anything unique about the road trip stand out to you guys?
I had done it the previous weekend. So, so it went down to Appalachian State.
Deja vu a little bit.
I've never been to either of the Carolinas. So going there and seeing that scenery. And like I said, on the way back, it was really foggy. So that was cool. I thought it was a good scenery. Okay. Reminded me of Arkansas a little bit.
Okay. Did North Carolina set the bar high for when you finally visit South Carolina?
I don't know. Did we visit South Carolina? Did we go? I don't think so.
So one thing that a lot of the players were asking about our trip, and of course we've got a fair amount to share, and obviously we brought a lot back, and we're going to kind of dive into that today. But I was one of them asked what do you think was the most unique thing, and for the most part, the first thing that popped in my head, which I'm pretty used to, is we drove about 20 hours, and the radio was never on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was. I think the conversation on the way back was pretty good. It was probably about 6 hours of intensive, growth-focused discussion. So that was sweet.
Right. I looked up and it said we had 5 hours left, and I thought we just got in the car.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we went down. We went to App State, and we were able to take a tour of their facilities, some of their campus, a lot of their sports venues, and really impressive because App State's in a mountain town of Boone, North Carolina, and there isn't a whole lot of flat land, but where there is, that's where like the fields and stuff are. And then, there's tons of, hills and stuff like that, which I definitely commented walking around there. I can't imagine what it'd be like when they get, freezing rain and ice and snow, but they did comment that they've never missed a day since for a decade or so for weather related stuff. They
use salt,
a lot of salt and things like that. We were able to, App State has a new pitching lab that just went in, and so like really just went in, and we were able to take a look at that, and that was definitely pretty interesting. And we really saw a lot of cool things. The App State's baseball field has had a viral pitcher go around from the fall with the fall colors and stuff like that, and that's been going around for a while. So getting to see that field when the leaves were all down and everything else, but it was still pretty cool, and they showed a lot of hospitality there and showing us around. Did you guys take anything else away from that?
Yeah, I think it's unique. It's cool to see smaller Division Ones with non-Power Five.
Yeah.
That are making the investment into player development. That's pretty cool to see. And that's just an indicator of how quickly baseball is moving with the way it develops players. And kind of for some, it's you got to speed it up or else you're going to get really left in the dust. So that was really cool to see.
Well, they're in the Sun Belt Conference, and the Sun Belt has very strong baseball ties. And so there are some very strong teams there. And I think it's the pressure that actually moves that needle forward at times. So if you've got to keep up or you're going to get left behind. We were able to watch the football team practice in their indoor area. And I think we were told they're getting a new indoor center here pretty soon. Not that that where they were was, you know, bad by any stretch, but it, I think they just need some more space. And, you know, so we were able to see that. And what was your takeaway at App State? I know you were taken back a little bit just because you were surprised, right?
Yeah. I'd never been to a big Division I school, like at all for anything. I've never went to a college football game.
Okay.
Nothing like that. So that was really the first big stadium I've been in besides the Chiefs. I'm a big Chiefs fan for those who don't know, but that's the only football stadium I've been in. So to see this to college level like that, with like that much financial investment in it from all the people who had been there was eye-opening.
Yeah. Then after we finished that tour, we ended up at Wake Forest University for a bridge seminar that lasted from Friday to Sunday. I think I totaled the hours, and it was about 18 hours of class time where we were sitting in a lecture hall and really surrounded with some just incredible, incredible people, you know, that ranged from doctors to coaches. And it was quite the experience. And, you know, I think that's why we're talking about it now, is because we talk a lot about development in our program, not only physical development, but mental development. And we got to really see it on very high levels over a 4-day span. And, you know, that's why we're sitting here. So what was, with Wake, and you're listening to these people talk, and you're listening to Seam Shifted Wake, and you're seeing algorithms and math, and you're listening to doctors and biomechanists, and you know, at times I know that I felt differently when leaving there. I remember one time we were sitting at lunch, and we're just kind of sitting there and been like, holy smokes, you know.
Yeah. Talking about that second day when we went to lunch and we all just were kind of silent for a second when we sat down, just because all the information that was thrown at us.
Yeah. Yeah. In some ways, I think you just feel bad because like, you just don't know what you don't know. Yeah. You know?
There's a lot.
Yeah, it was really cool. I think, you know, one of my biggest takeaways was being somebody that wasn't interested in STEM growing up, with, you know, science, tech, engineering, and math. I just didn't really gel with that. And I remember sitting in those classes. I loved history, and I loved, you know, English and all those courses. And I remember thinking, you know, if this stuff just would have been presented to me in like a baseball terminology or athletic terminology, I might be a completely different person today. Because, you know, if you would have told, you know, 14 or 15 year old me that you'd be sitting through a couple surgeons talking about surgery and how the body moves, and some peak performance trainers and physical therapists, and you'd be hanging on every word, I'd be like, huh? Like, what happened to me? You know?
Yeah, the other side of that is I was lucky, because I had no idea engineering and doing all those STEM classes would turn into this. But just glad I liked math. I had one good teacher. He made me like math, and that took me down the rabbit hole. And then,
yeah,
I mean, that whole weekend reminded me of lecture in college.
That's usually
just baseball related.
Usually the way it works, though, if you have somebody that's good and inspires you, you know, inspirationally one way or another, it doesn't have to be on a super high level, but inspires you and helps that belief system, usually you're more apt to do something.
Oh, for sure.
What was the any? Did you hear any? How many people were actually there?
Around 300.
Yeah, okay. And what was the makeup? I mean, what did you guys take away from the 300 that were there?
High level. No matter who was there, it was someone high level from, like, the services provided. People doing big things in the game there. I mean, like you said, doctors, like literally, Harvard doctors and scientists,
Stanford.
Obviously a lot of pro orgs and tons of Division I and beyond levels of baseball coaches.
Yeah, it was, I kept hearing it get mentioned throughout, where, especially when Wake was talking about how they developed their pitchers, and they're doing a lot of speaking on, you know, they were presenting these things and all that. And it wasn't necessarily for other colleges to be, okay, you know, you can take this and you can rip it and make it your own. It was more so they were presenting it for professional organizations, and being like, this is what we're doing here. And it was almost kind of like a sales pitch for on their guys, which I guess their stats really don't need any more sales. You know, you buy it just seeing it. But it was really, really just a huge makeup of pro organizations, the medical side, the PT side, and a ton of like researchers, just biomechanists and things like that, that are trying to find ways to make their athletes or their student athletes the best they can be and keep them the healthiest they can, which is really cool.
Definitely hit on the health part. I think that was, you know, that's with the arm injuries today and at all levels, including the youth level and, you know, the growth plate fractures and things like that, little league arms and, you know, slap tears, different things that are happening in the game of baseball along with the UCL injuries. That's at the forefront. And we have all this science and we have all these things that are happening, but the injuries are still increasing. And so I think these kind of things are really good because people are trying to ask questions and they're trying to come up with ways. We saw a device that you put on your hand and you can strengthen your fingers. And they really talked about in depth about how important strengthening certain fingers are and removing the thumb from that strengthening piece. And with helps in the aid, you know, we saw different movement patterns and what kind of leads to those injuries with everything. It's not one pitch that's leading to these UCLs and these injuries. It's over time, consistently over time, and being in bad positions. And it's not just overuse either. But you know, we listened to a Division I pitcher that pitched in the College World Series last year in the championship games. And, you know, he had transferred in from another school and he transferred there through the portal because, you know, it's Wake and they're known for their pitching. And he got significantly better in just a short period of time because of the technology. But he wasn't up there to necessarily sell what Wake was doing. He was up there to sell what happened, what he felt happened to his arm and how it just kind of broke down over time. And it was some pretty powerful stuff too, you know, listening to the pressures that he felt at the travel ball level and going to the prospect camps when he was in high school and how he needed to throw it, whether that camp was in January or, you know, it was in November or March or whatever it might be, June, different things. So there was a lot there. And then, so we came away with a ton of things. And I think, you know, I've told you guys, and we certainly talk about it within our team too, that it's not so much what you come away with, it's how you apply it, you know, and I know that we're constantly, as I, you know, we're constantly trying to get better and we're constantly trying to apply things that we're learning from others that are extremely successful. And I think that's part of what is the attraction to LCC and attraction to the team. And I certainly plays into the winning piece because we're not holding development on one thing. We're not holding it on a long toss program, or we're not holding it on just, you know, bat speed. We're doing some incredible things now with vision training, and you know, it's just, we're just trying to stay. I'm not sure if we can be ahead of the curve with what we're doing, but I know that we're staying on the curve, and that's been the biggest thing. And then, you know, after the Wake Forest presentation was over on Sunday, most people stayed. Most of those coaching events, you see people leave on Sundays because they got to fly out or whatever, but most people stayed for it. And then we ended up over at Wake Forest's famed pitching lab. And that lab is very, very famous for what they're doing. And what was your guys' takes when you walked in there?
Yeah. So I think really what this is, or the main thought I had was, you know, with your development and the technology you invest in and the people you invest in and things like that, I always wondered, you know, where is the ceiling? You know, what is all you can attain and all you can provide and all you can study? And there's got to be a ceiling is always what I've thought, where not necessarily fixed mindset, but, you know, at some point you're measuring everything you've got to measure, you're collecting everything you've got to collect and interpret and all that. And it might not give you the key to success and victory, but you'll at least you won't have any excuses. You have everything you got. But walking around there and seeing 36 cameras and the force plates, I probably shouldn't give the exact numbers, but all that stuff and thinking like, yeah, there isn't a ceiling. You can always keep adding. And, you know, that's kind of tied in with our recruiting here. I get a lot of questions from recruits. A pretty popular one is, you know, what does a day in the life of your athletes look like?
Right.
And that's a great question. Great question. And for most programs out there,
you can't copy and paste a day in the life here. They're so significantly different.
And for the most part, those students are going to be joining us in the following fall. And just from 3 years here, the falls have looked so much different. And it's because of what we're doing. We're adding things. We're picking up stuff. We're saying, okay, this was an awesome idea, but it didn't work. You know, here's something we can add, or this is something that worked a ton. Let's dive more into it. Things like that. So it's a really hard answer. I usually say, well, in the present tense, this is what it looks like. But, you know, in the fall, it's going to be a lot. You know, you're going to get a lot of development and you're going to keep growing and all that. But it's going to look way, way different when you get here. And that's a good thing. Like, that's a good thing.
Yeah. The lab was awesome. And I mean, you know, with my background, I thought I kind of saw what awesome was in Arizona with Driveline. But I mean, that pitching lab was even more. And that's tough to say, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was. I mean, it was, you said 36 cameras.
Just around the pitching area.
Yeah, and then there was another.
Probably throw an alleged on there.
Yeah. So. An alleged, yeah. I mean, yeah. It was insane. They had so much stuff. And I think, you know, he touched on it pretty well, but the thought that has been going through my head is that ceiling of having all the data. I know we talked about it. There were so many people that played in to getting the data. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a data team of students.
10.
10. Say again, 10
selective
students.
Selective program, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. Yep. And so you have people programming, you have people getting the data, cleaning it, looking for, you know, outliers in the data that don't match, because that always happens too.
Top secret formulas they have for recruiting and all that.
Yeah, I mean, literally, and you have all this stuff, and it's just, it's, you know, I think sometimes people think, okay, if I just get the tech, then I'll have the answer. Absolutely not. Like, getting it is step one, and then the work it takes to really find what is that guy's problem is a whole nother story. And the way they're doing it there is awesome. And the last part I'll say is, I think they were doing so well probably because you stick with a group of people for a little while, because their success wasn't right away. They've had this tech for a while, but they stuck with those people and they learned, and it kind of just seems like they end up finding that niche and really how they wanted to do it. And they just kept getting better and better. And I think in pro orgs, right, like fast turnaround times a lot of time, I think it's hard to establish that when you're getting new people in every other year.
It's certainly a solid point, and they've done a good job. And I certainly brought up the question, what happens if they don't win? Because this last year they had a really successful year getting to the championship series. But what does happen? And I think the overriding understanding with development is they're going to be really good with pitching. And that doesn't mean that you're going to win that last game of the year. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make the College World Series, but they're going to be really good with pitching. They're developing people. And at the end of the day, it's really hard to get to those kind of things and win it and to begin with, but that's not what it's all about. It's about the development and making kids better. And we saw a lot of that.
And I think another really cool thing that I found, I was kind of doing more research on it when I was driving back. I had my head going, you know, a million miles an hour. One of the things that stuck out to me is on the website, they've got their own website for the Wake Forest Pitching Lab and all that. But something I saw is the general public can go in there and can do a full eval. You know, you got to pay a pretty penny to do it, but you'll do the same thing all their players are doing. And you know, you can even do pitching lessons, it looked like, through there. It's a pretty hefty monthly charge for it. But, you know, that's something that is accessible to athletes across the country. And you don't have to be a Wake Forest recruit. You know, you don't even have to be a D1 or maybe even a college level athlete to do it. You know, they had, you know, high school evaluations and college evaluations all the way up to, you know, professional rates and things like that. So it's pretty cool, and making it accessible is awesome for just moving the game forward and finding ways to make students and student athletes better at the game. And that's kind of beautiful.
Yeah, and that's something we really have tried to do as well with what we have. And we do have a lot of technology. We don't quite have what they have. But
servant leadership.
It's we're not looking to compare ourselves to Wake Forest or anything else. We're trying to be our best version of coaches that we can be and use that technology. And it is wild if you are, you know, into understanding some of that stuff and you come around and you start looking at what's being used and how it's being used in our program and then not only how it's being used but why it's being used, you'll get those answers too. And sometimes it's a little bit weird. It looks a little different, you know, especially, you know, we're doing, you know, pencil push-ups and, you know, just different stuff and the mental performance. And, you know, this is one of the things that I also, another thing that I kind of took away from that is you talked about where the ceilings were, and I don't know if there is a ceiling because I think it ends with the mental side. And I think that's really just going to be so untapped for all time because there's so much potential there. That was really two things that they didn't hit on the development side was the mental piece. And then a second thing, which is very, very unique. And maybe that's because our world doesn't ask for it as much, but they didn't talk about command at all and how they worked with that kind of stuff and used technology for that. And I think in some ways we're a velocity based, you know, baseball world at this point, but there's definitely a couple things there that I think they could do better on.
I think I did look up the speaker list from the previous year, and they had a mental performance coach. They had Brandon Geyer there the previous year. And I think on the command piece, I think it's awesome and you need to throw strikes. But also at that level, or, you know, any level of college baseball, it's if you throw a ball in the zone to a good hitting team, it's going to get hit. And, you know, depending on how good that team, it boils down to how well they barrel it up, like you'd say. But, you know, the data, it shows a majority of your swings and misses and two strike counts are going to be pitches out of the zone.
Right.
And so baseball has moved, I think, from the fact of, there are pitches you have to get over. And if you can't get anything over for a strike, not going to have success really anywhere. But, you know, now it's moved into with those off-speed pitches or some of those nasty two-seamers or sinkers. How long can you make it look like a strike until that point of I've got a swing comes and then you swing and miss and you're like, oh, wow, you look goofy on ESPN and all that. But when it shows you the approach and all that from
the tunneling the data, piece of it,
you're like, oh, yeah, I would have swung at that too. That was a strike until about 50 feet before the plate.
Nobody worse than the keyboard warriors out there that are like, how do you swing at that?
Right.
Like, well, it's only 100 miles an hour.
I remember
the last second.
I remember in college, our hitting coach would yell at us anytime we'd have a forward move, even if it was a take, because that was a sign of lack of discipline. And now, you know, learning about actual baseball and the way you process and the way high level movers work, you know, you're like, yeah, of course I was moving. That's how you start your. That's how you start the swing. Right. No, that's yes, yeah. That is yes, yes, no.
That's crazy.
Yeah, really good stuff. And I think just to wrap, that's, you know, we experienced some really incredible stuff over that, you know, four day weekend that we were on. And then it's a process for us. We're just trying to help our players get, you know, just a little bit better in everything that they're doing. And I think that's what makes, you know, our STARS program just a little bit different and special.
What is the main thing you take away from it? Is there any quote or any comment or?
Not so much. I mean, one of my biggest takeaways is I just genuinely felt not great because you hear the dumbest person in the room or whatever. And I felt like that. And that kind of stuff is what drives me. And being around really special people is always good. It would be like you being a baseball player and you're a high school player and then you get to go on field for the Major League All-Star game. You're just going to be like, holy smokes, these guys are huge. And they hit the ball, you know, out of the stadium, it looks like. And you're watching somebody warm up on the mound and you can't believe how hard they're throwing, you know, and they're just warming up. So
for sure,
that's kind of what it was. And I definitely took a ton of notes. And I still believe the biggest thing is you can go to whatever you want. You can go to motivational seminars. You can go to great speeches. You can go on YouTube and search motivation. You can listen to all this stuff. And it's really short term. It doesn't last very long. You can have somebody come in and talk to your team, mm-hmm. get them all fired up before the big game. It just doesn't last long enough. You've got to do some things that basically will last. And that's through like keeping promises to yourself and that kind of stuff. And really just following through on what you want to do. You know, mm-hmm. if you see something you like and you say, yeah, we need to put this in our program, then you got to follow through on it and not make it about, well, it's too hard or it's too expensive or, you know, it's just, it's going to take too much time, you know, that kind of stuff.
For sure.
All right. Until next time. Thank you to all of our listeners and Hayden and Elijah for joining me today in the WLNZ studios. Stay humble and stay hungry. Go Stars.
Coach Cut's Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalian Lowry. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all the platforms of social media. You can find more about our program at lccstars.com. And donations to our baseball program can be made at the same site. See you next time. Coach.